Blog Talk Radio.
Many roads right there before me. Looks enticing, but I know that's not what God wants for me. Won't go no further unless I know He's leading me. Took 5 steps forward, but lost instead because of me. I made a decision that my life is gonna be about God. I may not be famous, 'cause I wanna sing a righteous song. Don't worry about me, my problems won't be money. It's better to please God than having everyone bowing at my feet. So I'm going down on my knee, I'm begging you to help me, 'cause I am nobody. When you're in my life, I feel free on my knees. I'm begging you to help me, 'cause I am nobody. When you're in my life, I feel free. I feel free. I feel free. When you're in my life, Lord, I feel free, feel free. I feel free. Oh yeah. Back in the days, righteousness was thou shalt not. But now in these days we sing, and now it's hard to stop. You got your breakthrough, but few days later you're back. Because you didn't feed your spirit and flesh was all you got. I made a decision, I gotta lose some of my friends. Change my number, that life has come to an end. Can't listen no more to those songs that's fighting again. I'm walking away, and I'm not looking back. Bowing down on my knees, begging you to help me. I'm nobody. When you're in my life, Lord, on my knees, I'm begging you to help me, Jesus.
My name is Apostle Emmett Overton. We'll be moving back to the
Kingston, Jamaica. June the 16th, my last day back here in the United States. I'll be making a permanent exit of the United States for a permanent resident in Kingston, Jamaica. I want to thank everyone for listening to us. We now have Pastor John Durden, Chaplain John Durden. I'm going to turn the mic over to you. There's no questions and answers. So with next 1 hour and 20 minutes, when you say amen, that will be it. And we have no questions and answers at this particular time. Chaplain Durden, you now have the mic.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. First off, I'd like to say good evening to everyone of my brothers who are listening here tonight. And I wish to share with you tonight some things about our adversary, Satan, who is against mankind. I'm going to be talking about his operation, the various types of demonic spirits he has working for him. To be more specific, I want to talk tonight about I had a lot of music in the background.
Okay.
Can
you hear me? Can you hear me, brother? In the future, if you hear noise and nothing, don't never get off the air. Don't say hello. I'm watching you. I'm watching it. Just stay put in the future. If that happens in the future, we got a lot of people coming in and out, and the borders are running real hot. So people coming in can do that. So I don't know who got a phone somewhere on. Don't even think about that. Just keep teaching. But stay in the room. Computer, stay
but
in the room.
It had interrupted.
That ain't going to interrupt me. Can nobody hear me? Just listen to the Holy Spirit, man. Because when you call in like that, get off air, somebody jumped in your seat. I had to get these people out the chair.
I didn't get off. I was cut off. I said, hey, where all this noise coming from? Because I couldn't even hear myself.
We're going to go back on.
A bunch of music.
Hey, we got to get back on. Okay, that's over now. We got to get back on because all these people calling in, you keep saying the same thing over and over. And these people constantly, yes, sir, hang on, Rev. Dobin. He's got to come in. Rev. Fissel, come on in. All right, go ahead, Brother John. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry for the interruptions, listeners. We have a difficulties there. My session tonight is going to be on demonic warfare and warfare and all the other kind of stuff because I never thought I'd be doing it this time in my age, but you got to do what the Lord tell you to do. So I'm going to talk, I'm going to share some things about you. This is, to be specific, I'm going to talk about Jesus, our captain in his army. We are his fighters. We are his warriors. I'm going to share a little bit about that. Also, I'm going to talk about guidelines for dealing with demonic spirits. I'm going to talk about detecting the presence of demons. How do you know where you're around? When you're in your bedroom, living room, in your car, or whatever. Also, I want to talk about angels and the attributes of demons. I want to share with you the arrogance of that prideful Satan. I want to talk about demon organization, how they function. I also want to talk about the kingdoms and the leaders in Satan's kingdom, kind of demons there are. I also want to share with you how demons gain control over citizens, how demons gain access into human bodies to get them to do all kinds of crazy things. I want to talk about the dangers of getting into being involved with the cults. And then I want to end with the ministry of deliverance. But before I do, I want to say a prayer. Our Father, we come before you now in the precious name of Jesus. I pray that you would anoint me with revelation, knowledge, and wisdom and understanding. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would empower me to teach your word with clarity and simplicity and boldness. And may our minds be alert and clear and our hearts become receptive. I pray that the Spirit of truth move in such power that every stronghold of unbelief and discord and vain thought be pulled down and brought into captivity to the glory of your Son, Christ Jesus. And finally, Father, I pray that your words bring salvation, healing, and deliverance to all here in your presence today. In the name of your divine Son, Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Okay, I want to share a few scriptures with you. 10:1, we talk about spiritual warfare. Matthew 10:1 says, he calls his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease. Mark 16:17-18 says this, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, and they will speak in new tongues. Ephesians 6:10-12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. And then Luke 9:1-2 says this, when Jesus called his 12 disciples, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases and to send them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And there's another point, a prayer I thought of, and there's another scripture that came to mind, and I'd like to share that with you, because once we become believers and get accepted by Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are in the army of God. And, you know, and I want to share a scripture that indicates that we are in the army of God and he is our captain. I'm referring to Ephesians, it's the 6th chapter. It says in verses 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole army of God, you soldiers, that we may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, we to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And also, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? The word of God. And praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, not in the flesh, in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. And I'm going to end the session talking about the ministry, about how to get started and what our approaches would be and so forth. Now, the first part I want to talk about is he's known as the captain of God's army. God is his father. He's the captain of God's army, and we are his soldiers. A few little things I want to say about him quick before I get into the specific demonic avenues. First of all, you got to remember, he is what? The creator of all things. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him we know what? We know he exists. He's also known to us what? As the Son of God. And he declared to be the Son of God with power and according to the Spirit of holiness. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. He also is known as he is God the Son. He's not only human, he's the man God. He's also known what is as a in human form when he took on flesh. And his mission on earth, well, guess what? Jesus came to earth to accomplish at least two specific goals. You know, when I was studying for this session tonight, I knew some of the things he was doing and what he was tasked to do, but I came up with two specific goals. In my study, I found that first, he was sent by the Father to what? Pardon us from sin and to restore us to fellowship with his Father as well as himself. Second, he came to destroy the works of the devil, and that's where spiritual warfare come in. He came to destroy the works of the devil. You find that in 1 John 3:8. And Jesus' role in spiritual warfare, I kept saying, we have this written word. I don't know. I guess by 20, 25 years, I didn't believe in this stuff. I really didn't. I said, maybe got this written word. I'll excuse myself with that statement. Jesus' role in spiritual warfare, guess what? Jesus ministers in two capacities that relate to spiritual warfare of the believer. First, through him, we can claim authority over the enemy. He gave us, in this word, power and authority to overcome the world the flesh and the devil. You find that in Luke 9:1. And then the second is Jesus intercede for us, talking to the Father on our behalf as we engage in spiritual warfare. He loves us. He came primarily for our salvation. And then he's our captain, our intercessor, who intercedes for us with his Father as we engage in spiritual warfare. And you find that in Romans 8:34. Praise God. Praise God. And what I want to share now is guidelines for dealing with demons. I think we need to know that before we can just jump in there. All right, come out, you demon. Demon, look at us and say, hey, you must be crazy. You know, one guy kept on talking about, come out, come out. The demon say, you say one more word to me, you know what is mine. And he said, you don't know, I got a doctorate degree and I graduated. The demon stripped him butt naked and whipped his butt real good. So we got to be careful. Sometimes rather than go back at the demon and cuss him out and shout and scream at the demon, the best thing we can do is like what they used to do. Always when a demon says something to you out of that person, you just say, the Lord rebuke you. You want to come back and say, you don't talk to me. You know who I am and all this stuff. No, you don't do that with demons. You just say, the Lord rebuke you. Now, this is some of the guidelines that I've discovered in being with Brother Emmett, because Brother Emmett, that's his ministry. God gave him that ministry. And I was surprised because I remember when he rededicated his life to the Lord. He was working with me at the hospital, just assisting me and stuff like that. And then I remember when the Lord called him into the ministry, and he said, you know, John, God called me into deliverance ministry. What's that? And we look and say, oh, he's talking about demons kind of thing. Well, God taught him, and God said, I will teach you deliverance. And he was over there, and God said, give my son your other office, because he just had a high school diploma and maybe 1/4 of college. So I sent him over there because he had nothing to do. He just got out the Marine Corps, and you know, and he'd been a Navy SEAL and these kinds of things. So I enjoyed his company. He enjoyed mine. We fellowship, and then God started talking to him. And he ran over my phone. John. He said, do you know the Lord Jesus said to me? I said, what? Are he speaking to you? You heard him? He said, yeah. He said, he's going to teach me deliverance ministry. I said, my God. And I go, well, he even went further. He said, because people need deliverance. And secondly, he wants his pulpit back. And I go, what do you mean by pulpit back kind of thing? And then finally got a revelation, say there's a lot of ministers, like in the New Testament, that not real. Some call themselves. He didn't call them. And you can tell, he said, you can tell they're acting like homosexuals and these kinds of things, you know. And he says, I didn't call them. And he says, they don't love me. They're there for pride, for money, for glory, and these kinds of things. I want my pulpit back. And so God taught him all there was about the deliverance ministry. God even took him, that young man, to hell and down. And he shared that with me, boy. We both was crying. And it was real what God told him, what he seen, and everything else. Because there's just one thing you need to know. There's a cell block down in hell. It's called, let's see, what was the name of that thing? I can't remember the name. Oh, yeah, the Halls of Theology. It was called the Halls of Theology. These are ministers, evangelists, Bible teachers, whatever they call themselves, titled with respect to the Bible. That's that special place in heaven. It's called the Halls of Theology. We all know theology means God, the Halls of God. And these are ministers, evangelists, and so forth, who and deacons, whatever titles they have, are in there. And they were in there from 2001, 2002, 2003, way back in the 1400, 1312. These are ministers who were violating their title as a chaplain or as a minister, as a deacon, or whatever it may be. It was God looking for gold, godly, righteous men. There's some, he said, there were some who started off righteous, but some of them turned their back on him for the sake of pleasure and glory and wealth and fame. Now, guidelines for dealing with demons, I want to share that first for us to get into deep button. Guidelines, I'm going to give you about 15. One, you got to pray for discernment. Demons must be dealt with only on the basis of Jesus' authority. Do not attempt to deliver outside of his guidance. When I say pray for discernment, that's one of the gifts. You know, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues, the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of teaching, and so forth. Well, one of the gifts is the gift of discernment. And gift of discernment come into play when you as a minister are sitting in your church and somebody come up and trying to trick you to get your money or try to seduce you or whatever. your Holy Spirit speaks to you, and you discern what that person trying to do. Now, Pastor, I need I lost my house, was burned down. I don't have a penny. I don't have no place to go. Could you do it? Yes, my child. And you might write out a check, have the secretary write out a check for $500, $600, or whatever, you know, and the guy walking the door, giggling in the lap and say, food, kind of thing. So with the spirit of discernment, you can discern whether that lady or that man is out to trick you or the reason he or she is there is authentic. The second one, guidelines for dealing with demons. At first, I said you got to pray for discernment. Because you can't sit there in your mind and say, I think he's trying to trick me. Oh, that poor little thing. I feel so sorry for her or for him. And for, you know, you give him a joke of all your money, walk out the door laughing kind of a thing. Or somebody trying to seduce you. One might be demon-possessed who's trying to get you and mess your mind up. Guidelines for dealing with demons. Recognize the symptoms. You got to know, and as you get deeper into the study of the demonology, you'll be recognized whether that's the human person talking to you, is demonic, or maybe the person just cuckoo kind of thing. Be slow to make judgments. He got a spirit or so-and-so. He got a deep. No. Sometimes, like I say, it might be psychiatric kind of a thing. And sometimes people come to you and say, I got this stuff, and they be dancing all around it, but can't really tell you the real truth because they're ashamed of what they've done. And, you know, like say like some folks we know was committed at bestiality, like those dudes out in the country, have sex with the cows and calves out there, kind of country boys. And they don't want to say, oh, yeah, and they'd be beating all around the bush. Well, if you had the spirit of discernment, God would say, oh, he's guilty of bestiality. He's screwing the cow, kind of thing. He's cheating on his wife, or she cheating on her husband, this kind of a thing. That's where that spirit of discernment come in. All right, I say number one, I say pray for discernment. We need it. Recognize the symptoms when you talk to a brother, person is really ill, sick, the person may be possessed with a demon. Be slow to make judgments, because like I said, the person may be psychiatric or wrong or whatever, okay? Do not deal with the situation alone. Always have someone with you. And that's how I got exposed to it, because after God taught Brother Emmett all the scriptures dealing with demonology in the Bible, God had him to read the book of Mark, I don't know, for 2, 3, 4 months. Every time he tried to read another book, he'll say, and then he'd say, okay, Lord, he'll go back and read Mark, because Mark, Jesus dealt mostly with the ministry of deliverance. And so, and then God, I said, I'm going to get you to memorize all these scriptures in the Bible that deal with possession and demonology, influence and all that stuff. And he said, go to the back of the Bible. And he said, get John so John can watch. So he comes over to my office. And we turned the back of the book index. He said, Brother John, he told me to look at all these scriptures that deal, that refer to demonic possessions and all this other kind of stuff. I said, okay. So he didn't read it. He just looked at the scripture. And I said, okay, we look at it together. He said, do you know what else he could say he's going to do, Brother John? I go, what? He said that once I get through with this, he's going to transfer all about those demons and where you can find it in the Bible and stuff like that. He's going to put it in my spirit. And in other words, I don't have to do human effort try to remember all the scriptures. He's going to put it in my memory bank, in my spirit, wherever that is. And I say, okay. So I sat there and watched him read all, not read the scripture, just read the scripture number, like Mark 1, Mark 2. And he must have read about 40 or 50 of them scriptures that dealt with demons and evil spirits. And then he closed the Bible. I said, now, you know what he said now? He said, yeah. He said, he's going to take the thing, all those scriptures out of the book, spiritually speaking, and plant it into your spirit so you can just zip them out, just like a typewriter video. I said, okay. So he looked at it all. He said, Brother John. I said, well, he said, I can't see. I'm going blind. I can't see nothing. I said, remember, you forgot. You're excited. The Lord says he's going to transfer all those scriptures that deal with demons, I don't care if they're 40, 50, 60 scriptures, he's going to implant it or transition it into your spirit where you can just call it out when you need it. Now, the idea that you can't see it is because God, I mean, I can see the scriptures, but you can't because God's trying to tell you that they're now been transitioned into your spirit. Now, give me those scriptures that you read a few minutes ago. Okay. He said, but I got to say, he told me to say in the name of Jesus 3 times. I said, go ahead and say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He said 3 times. I said, okay, what are the scriptures that deal with that fellow sit there and spit out 57 scriptures right in front of me without looking at the book or anything else. I said, my God. And we both started crying because it was real. It was real. Let me see. I said, be slow to make judgments. Do not deal with a situation alone. Like, yeah, you always have a partner with you. If somebody you believe is, but you got to evaluate to get, don't assume that the person is demon possessed. The person might just be a psycho problem. You have to, that's where discernment comes in. You talk to the Lord to tell you exactly what the problem is. Do not deal with the situation alone. Always, if somebody says, you need to come to my house, my wife is crazy, man, she's swinging and saying all kinds of crazy things, like she's demon possessed. Always take somebody with you. But this is a warning. Don't take nobody with you who is hanky panky, because as soon as y'all walk in the door, demon, he got my brother with him. So what do you mean he got my brother with him? He mean that you, the demon saying he's a homosexual, and the demon that's in that assistant pastor coming to the pastor try to cast demon, he can pick up his brother and say he got my brother in here. He do so much. He's screwing other men and boys. And all this kind of stuff. And then that demon, the table, I said, come out. That demon said, you say one more thing to me, your butt is mine. And we see it in person. That demon said, I said, you don't know, I got a doctor degree. I'm a triple crown bitch. And man, let me tell you, that demon said, And boom, in a second, all the man's clothes stripped off. And the demon jacked him up and suspend him up in the air. He flew in the bed. Brother John, brother, get me down. All of that stuff. Now, another thing, the guidelines for dealing with demons. Do not be afraid. Because they would pick that up and say, oh, Joker, you scared of me, aren't you? Kind of thing. So, I mean, when I first started, man, my knees were knocking like a chick. You think I was that old? I don't know. A rock and roll game, my knees were knocking. I was trying to hide it because it was a nervous situation when I first see, because I started going with Brother Emmett, because Lord wanted me to say, John, been in the dog too long now. Get John. And I started going with him, and I said, well, I'll be doggone. All I heard for 30-some years, we have his written word. We have, which hinder person from speaking in tongues, which hinder person from believing in demons, because they always go, Satan busy, boy. Satan is alive from way back. And you find most of them, oh, we have his written word. I have a doctor's degree. I don't know. He heard. And demons say, got that. Well, anyway, the next one. Do not be afraid. Keep what you discover confidential, okay? Because the person might reveal a lot of things to you, and you go, what? You've been cheating on your husband away? You've been hanky-panky with that little girl in your office, huh? Say, so keep it. Don't go say, and guess what he told me? Don't do that. You'll really get hurt. All right. Another thing, guidelines for dealing with demons. Because you got to remember, it's a demon. A woman might be possessed. And that'd be the wrong thing to run out the door as soon as they go back home and say, guess what they told me in the counseling? She's been playing with so-and-so little daughter who's 13 years old, playing with her little booty, you know, that kind of a thing. All right, another one, guidelines for dealing with demons. Continue to minister to the individual after the demons have left, because you have to, you know, you got an empty house now, and you got to refill that person with the Holy Spirit and ask them to rededicate their life. And invite the Holy Spirit in, because if you don't, you got an empty vessel, and the demon says, "Hey, I'm coming. This house is still clean. I can go back in," kind of a thing. Do not be discouraged by an apparent fear. Sometimes it doesn't work, because you know why? Because sometimes, especially like me, when I'm learning, and nothing happened, and then come find out, I'd be talking to Brother Emmett, and I say, "You know why? Because that demon had a legal right to be there." He says, "In the Bible, it shows over 30 or 40 something." Where a person have a curse on them, and you have to find out what the curse is to get the person out of that curse, and then the devil have to go. But there are some things people do that makes the devil have legal right in them, you know, kind of a thing. Okay, do not be distracted by extreme fatigue while dealing, because sometimes you think you can get over about 15, 20 minutes. And there are times when I've been with Brother Emmett, we'd be there like 4, 5, 6, 7 hours. And when my daughter go out with him, because that's her primary ministry, shoot, man, they start at 9 o'clock, and sometimes they don't get through to 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. And then when I call my daughter, she's out cold, you know. All right, be ready to stay for an extended period of time. I just got through talking about when you're trying to do deliverance. Remember your weapons, the name of Jesus and the blood of the Lamb. You know, I am doctor, so-and-so. I got this degree, the demon left you. Just remember your weapons. Your weapon is not your degree or your pride. The weapon is the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and by the blood of the Lamb, I command you to come out of that person. They may come out then, but you may have to say it several times. So don't be facing no demon talking about, I got these degrees, I've got these degrees, I am doctor so-and-so. And that demon laughs, you say that to me one more time. And we've seen him where, I said I'm doctor so-and-so. And the demon stripped the man's clothes off, and he up in the air, butt naked in front of the whole church, trying to, a lot of them out doing what they're doing right now is having deliverance sessions where it is, are we going to show you? God promoted me to the deliverance session. And they called Eminem and said, oh, Lord, John, the man don't know anything about it. He thinks because he got a doctorate degree. And I told him if he got some sin on it, he better not do it because that sin going to call him out. But he told him, y'all just jealous. That's what it is. Y'all just jealous. And decided to have one of those little charades where he had the members in the church and all coming there to see him cast out. Our pastor going to cast out a demon. You demon. And the demon said, you a whoremonger. You say something to me, I'm gonna beat you up in the air. You don't tell me what to do. You got one of my brothers in you, which means one kind of sinful pleasure he's entertaining. You know, a demon of sex, a demon of homosexual, a demon of bestiality, whatever it may be. So he said, I said, come out in the name. I am Dr. So-and-so. And whoop. And so help me, folks. This I have my 30, 40 times. I'm not lying. And the demons would strip them naked, and they go up in the up in the ceiling, and everybody in the church see him up there naked. And then the pastor mother comes, well, you dirty, you let my son down. I say you. And guess what? The demon look at him and say, oh, you whoremonger, shut up. And then, boom, he stripped her clothes up. She up there in the top of the ceiling, butt naked, next to her son. So help me. I'm not making this up. This is God's truth. I'm not doing this, spending this time to lie. Because even Revelation 21:8 says lies go to hell. Another guideline for dealing with demons. Be on guard yourself for several days after you have been in session. Because after you done delivered this person, that demon will be mad. I'm going to get him. Down, this woman used to be a whoremonger, used to be a prostitute. He delivered that girl. I was in her. I'm going to get him. And so you just be careful what you say, what you think, and everything else. Because remember, all your thoughts are not yours. You look at a woman and go, oh, she's fine. That's not your thought. I tell you how you can tell. You know the Bible as well as I do. When you start thinking something, you know, because we always have thoughts in our mind 24/7 sometimes. Man, she sure look good. Man, I want this money. Man, I ought to take an offering, man. And you know, then you got to say, hold it. That's not me. That's a demonic. Don't necessarily mean you possess. It's just that there's one that just oppressing you, trying to get you to sin. You get these thoughts. I never thought of this. When you're thinking something, I go, who's thinking it? I got a habit of doing that now. You know, sometimes I go, man, so. And I go, oh, no, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus, you demon. Oh, no. I ain't got no business thinking that thought. I'm a child of God. That ain't that. I know the Bible. That ain't the word of God. This kind of a thing, you know. And don't exaggerate. Sometimes when I used to be working, I wanted to impress the boss, you know, what I'm doing, all that. So I did this. And then the Lord said, Revelation 21:8, John. I go, Revelation 20. I go to the Bible and say, all lies even go to hell. I go, oh, Lord, I beg your pardon. Forgive me, God, kind of a thing. Be on guard yourself for several days after you have been in session because them demons are mad and you're going to try to get revenge. Watch for distractions. Keep in mind that demons are afraid of Christians who walk with Jesus. And I've seen that when Brother Emmett walked in the door. When sometimes he said, John, come go with me. But most cases now, it's my daughter who goes because she has the same anointing on her too to deal with it because God taught her demonology personally. She didn't went to no school, hear some jack guy telling me, this is what demons doing, this is what demons doing. They don't know the first thing about it. Just pride, that's all. And when they see her walking, they say, oh, look who just walked in. I couldn't believe it. I say, them demons know my daughter. Well, they know us all because there's one guy I used to hang with named Emmanuel Williams. And he brought me into the ministry of chaplaincy, you know, and everything else. And I looked up to him, the dude was sharp as I don't know it. Made all A's in high school, college, then went to seminary and maxed out like a champ. And he wanted to introduce me to the chaplaincy, so I looked up to him and everything else. And so I found out that even though he was smart and all that, his spirit wasn't right. But see, he didn't let me in on that part. He just let me see the good side of him. Yes, praise the Lord, Brother John, praise the Lord. Then finally, I got God gave me when I found out the things he was doing. I'm not going to say the things he was doing, but I say, I got a part now, brother. You take care, kind of a thing. Now, do you know when I be ministering, talking, and helping Brother Emmett teaching, do you know sometimes a guy's going, I wish y'all shut up. Ain't no sex. Tongue has ceased. Why don't y'all shut the hell up? And so on. I said, Lord have mercy, brother. It didn't say tongue has ceased. And why don't y'all just pick on teach? You got prophecy, and then you got revelation. Prophecy. And then you got tongues and you got revelation. And each one of those categories says tongues will cease or tongues will fail. I said, don't you know English? English, you got past tense, present tense, and future tense. And when you said tongues will cease, that's present tense. So will and has don't mean the same thing. Has is past tense. you know. And so, I think of that. I see your tongue's will. It's present tense. And I say, my God. So, and then the next verse says, and he that is, let me see what it says. He that is perfect, come, and then tongues and prophecy and revelation would stop, you know, would stop because you don't need no more because what we have the perfect one with us. It says, when that which is perfect comes, then tongues will cease and knowledge and prophecy. Knowledge is not the same category. It says tongue and revelation and stuff. But yeah, everybody want to pick on the tongues. Knowledge. That's it. Knowledge. I keep saying revelation. Knowledge. Yes, it said knowledge will fail and tongues will cease. Same thing. But anyway, the Bible said tongues will cease. Well, the Bible also said in the next verse, right in that same verse, it says, Lord have mercy. And it says, information, revelation, and knowledge. And knowledge will cease. Knowledge hasn't ceased because we got all these airplanes. We got all these kind of different kinds of doctors. We got all these kind of Bibles. We got all kinds of skyscrapers. I mean, we got all kind of medicines and everything else. That's still going on. You know why? Because the next verse, 10, says, but when that which is perfect comes, then it will cease. Talking about Jesus. So, God, you still using tongues because we go, and what happens is preacher might be preaching. And then when he about to say the benediction, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit come upon him, he go, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. And then the pastor, some pastor got the interpretation, some don't. They just got the tongues. And then somebody who got the interpretation said, Pastor, raise his hand. Go to pastor. Somebody got the revelation, the translation, what I just said in tongues. And maybe it might be the janitor, might be the choir director, maybe his wife, maybe somebody that's one of the singers. And he gets said, Pastor, you saying, I love you, my children. Praise you. God bless you. I bless you. Bless you. And give words of exhilaration, word of encouragement, everything else. See, the pastor wasn't thinking about that, but God wants to bless the congregation and say, I love you. Keep doing what you're doing. Praise you. I'll be back soon. I love you and stuff like that. Somebody gives the interpretation. I say, oh, you see. So all my life, during the 20 years I was in the church, and I raised a Methodist first 20 years, then I moved to Atlanta and I married a Baptist woman. I didn't want to make her become a Methodist, so I joined her Baptist church, and I was a deacon there for 20 years. And all that time, you know, I didn't believe in tongues, nothing like that. And finally God came to me and says, my son, you ain't gonna never get it, I believe, unless you believe. And I go, huh? You know, and then I started getting convicted every time I read it. I said, it doesn't say has, it says will. And I said, honey, what's the difference between will and hell? I said, you know, you're the English expert. She said, will is present tense. And has means it stopped, you know. I said, look at this verse. She said, yeah, that means it had stopped. Look at the next verse. It said, when that which is perfect comes, then it will cease. And I looking at all my Bible dictionaries and everything else, and he that is perfect was referring to Jesus. Jesus is the perfect one. And when Jesus comes, Jesus, we don't have to speak in tongues because what? He's there and he can speak to us in our language, you know? And from heaven, he's speaking tongues and we get the interpretation by somebody else in the church, kind of a thing. Okay, so the last one, keep in mind, I'm talking about the last guideline for dealing with demons. Keep in mind that demons are afraid of Christians who walk with Jesus. They will hunt, they know you. And because one demon I'm going to talk about is a familiar spirit. That demon just, you're sitting there trying to try to tell the demon to come out. So help me, y'all. So I don't remember anything else I said. Please remember this one. Because I've seen too many ministers, me and Brother Emmett, who tell me, come out. And he kind of shut head all the church members and friends and relatives and neighbors and all to come and see him do his first demon possession. And exorcism in. And then that demon said, you say something, one more thing to me, your butt is mine. I said, come out. I am Dr. So-and-so. And guess what happened? I'm not lying, y'all. Several times the demon said, I warn you. Whoop. And stripped the man clean butt naked in front of the whole congregation. Maybe he might have 700, 800, and then suspend his butt up in the air. He's up there in the ceiling by the light lamps up there, and everybody looking at the pastor, looking at him butt naked, and he's screaming to him, Brother Emmett, Brother John, get me down. Brother, I say, hey, that's Brother Emmett's job. That's just, I haven't gotten to that. I haven't gotten more into that thing right now. So when I go with him, he always used me to pray in tongues, you know, because he'd be talking to that demon. That demon, somebody said, Brother John. And I go, Shakiriana, get the parasa. And that cool, that monster, he look at me, he go, he's speaking in tongues, that demon. And that demon calmed down. So the demon want to attack him. He says, come out in the name of Jesus. He says, don't stop, just keep on. So I might be in the corner while he's trying to tell that demon, come out. Well, I'm in the corner, go, Shikitiya, that keep that demon in place, because he knows, that demon know I'm praying in tongues, which is the Holy Spirit, and not me. When we speak in tongues, that's the Holy Spirit using our vocal cord. And I say, ki, halabarake, that's the Spirit of God. That's not me just using my vocal cord. So that last one, keep in mind what demons are afraid of with Jesus. So don't walk up to no demon and say, and we've seen it many times in the last 6 months, I come down on riding on a donkey, going to be big and proud, you come out, you demon, and blah, blah, blah. And every one of them got stripped butt naked and got suspended up in the air. So the demon said, you can't tell me what to do. You got, they say this, you got my brother in you. In other words, if you into, let me see, if you into masturbation, that demon saying, hey, you got my brother in you. In other words, my brother that left here and went over there where you and made you become a masturbator. You can't stop. You know why you can't stop? Because that's my brother just tempting you, that kind of thing. Okay, now angels. Now I come to the point where I say angels execute God's will. That's what they do. We know how holy God is. Their nature is superior. Because I'm going to talk about the good angel, and then I'm going to talk about that bad demon angel. Their nature is superior to human beings. They have superhuman powers and knowledge. They are created beings. They talk and eat just like everybody else. They take charge of the affairs of people. They are not to be worshipped. They will be judged by the saints. They come in large companies. Some are good and some are bad. You know, the one that was bad got kicked out of heaven, right? Fallen Satan, full of pride. There are different kinds of angels. There are seraphims and cherubims and archangels and so forth. And then they come in ranks, just like in the military. You have rulers and then you have authorities and they're powers of the dark world. Some are called spiritual forces of evil and so forth. Then you got the big shots, Michael, the archangel. Okay. And what else do I want to talk about? Oh, demons have attributes just like we do. Let me share that with you. Before being cast out of heaven, you got to remember, y'all, the demons had the same attributes as the good angels. They love the Lord, they praise the Lord, and worship the Lord, and everything else. And then here comes Satan rebelling, and he's about to get his butt kicked out. And so he influenced these other, a third of the angels, hey, man, come, I'm leaving. They don't know you're getting kicked out. He's getting kicked out. I'm leaving. I'm going to start my own kingdom. Come on, follow me. I'm going to make my kingdom in the second heavens. You know, the second heavens is where the rockets go up there. You know, the first heaven is the sky, which is above us, where we can see. But the second heavens is where the rockets and all go. And then the third heaven is God's happy home. He says, y'all come on, follow me. I'm going to make y'all superpowers. I'm going to give y'all ranks and prestige and everything. Yeah. And the third of those angels followed his crap, you know. Okay. So I want to say, list some of their attributes. Well, we know, first of all, that angels and demons, what, are spirit beings. They can speak. They believe. They can exercise their wills. They demonstrate intelligence. The Bible says they're smarter than human beings. They have emotions, because when you say Jesus, man, they tremble. I'm getting out of here, you know. Because I remember one time, me and Emmett was doing an exorcism, and I was sitting in the living room watching it, because you know I'm trying to learn how to do this thing, because I'm new. You know, I'm an old man getting into this stuff. I should be doing it when I was my 30, 40. Yeah, I am. What? How old I am now? I am 79. Come November, I'll be 80. I can't believe that the years gone by that fast. And here I am, a 79-year-old man talking about demons and exorcism and tongues and stuff like that. And all my life, tongues have ceased. All my life, to finally God jacked me up and said, come, because he knew my heart. He said, I see your heart. You don't know what to believe. You haven't rejected it. You just don't know what to believe. Because some say yeah, some say no. And you come into the right person. You came to me because I, honey, y'all going somewhere? And she said, yeah. She said, come on, we going to the mall. Y'all go ahead. And the reason I want to tell her, I said, I'm going to find out if tongues are real or not. If I have to cry, scream, beat the walls, and everything else. She said, you sure you don't want to go? Said, I'm sure, honey. I got some things to do. And as soon as they went out that door, man, I locked the front door, the back door, the screen door, side door, windows, everything. And then I ran into the bedroom and fell on the floor. Now, Lord, you know, this is me, John. I believe it, but I don't know. Sometimes I don't know because everybody asks, tell me, no, we have a written word. But, you know, for some reason, I'm uncomfortable. Why I am, I'm uncomfortable when you tell me that. He said, because your spirit knows it's not true, my son. I go, huh? So you must believe. You will get it when you believe. It's like salvation. Ain't nobody going to get no salvation if they don't believe I'm the Son of God. So I've had to make a decision. He said, whether you believe it or don't. And I said, you know what? Maybe I was being convicted all the time. Couldn't be sad because maybe deep down inside I believe. He said, ask me for it. And I said, Lord, give me the gift of tongues. And I was in that living room, man. And next thing I know, man, I was speaking in tongues a whole lot. All because I believe. And then every time I have rehab, it pisses me off, you know, because they don't know. I've been in that dum-dum 20 years as a Baptist, no, 19 years as a Methodist, 20 years as a Baptist, and that's all I heard in 40 years, rehab is written tongues. And I'm learning all this at the age of 77, 78, 79. That's pitiful, real pitiful. All right, some more attributes. They have emotions like we do. Those demons have supernatural strength. They have supernatural presence. They are eternally going to die because what? They're spirits. They have their own doctrines, which is opposite of God's. They are evil, man. They are hatred. There ain't no love anymore. They're a rebellious man, and they look gross. I mean, they look like BM out of the toilet, and I'm not exaggerating. They are ugly things, man. Some have 4, 5, 12 eyes in their face, man, and 4, 3. Man, they got messed up when they left heaven, man. Them demons got turned ugly. Because they don't angels be beautiful, man. All the golden hair and the brass on their wrists and look like Superman, man, muscular, 6'3 or 6'4, 6'5, whatever, 7 feet. But man, they look, you want to vomit when you look at them. You just can't believe that's something. You have to pinch yourself to know there's something standing in front of you that can talk. They have their own doctrines, which is opposite of Jesus. Another attribute, they can tempt. Hey, look at that girl over there. And so we have to monitor our thoughts. You know what? God told me to share this. There's a note on my wall I got here. It says, I was just reading the Bible, and the thoughts came in my head. It said this, communicate with me, John, continually, and I will put my thoughts into your mind. And I go, huh? And I kind of just dispelled it, you know. And I went on read my Bible, and then it came back stronger. John, communicate with me continually, and I will put my thoughts into your mind. And that's Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. And I went, wow, look, I said, I'll be dog. I said, God just told me, I called everybody, only the ones I know love the Lord, just the average Christian going, man, John going crazy. Praise the Lord. I said, you know what he just said? I said, yeah. He says, I need to talk and communicate with him because usually I just do it in devotion time. Man, when I get up and I'm walking, taking my walk through the door, I go, Jesus, I love you. Praise the Lord. And he talks to him every time. I go, Jesus is not alive. And then when I come home and I'm sitting here in my study, you know, and I used to watch the TV constantly. Man, I haven't watched that TV in about 3 days. And he changed me. And before, I was watching TV. I ain't talking to him. I'm watching all these stories, man, these cool stories. I'm just watching the games. Man, I hadn't turned that TV on, and I'm not exaggerating, 3 weeks now. I'm spending time because he put that in my spirit. He said, hey, my son, if you communicate with me continually, and I will put my thoughts into your mind, I said, that's cool. So when I'm teaching, it won't be me. I can just sit there and say, okay, Lord, here I am. And then when I'm going, hey, guess what, y'all? And I'm saying, he's putting those thoughts into my mind. It's not me. Let me think of what I'm going to say now. And that, because if I say that, that's my mind. That's that fleshy mind. So I sit back, and just before I came here, I got on my knees, you know, and I said, hey, you got 15 more minutes. I said, okay. Man, I ran into my study, got on this in the Holy Spirit, and you know, I love you. And Jesus, I love you too. I don't know which one, I guess both of you listening, but I tell you one thing. I said, please tell me what to say. Put it in my mind. I don't want it to be me. The scriptures, you gave us that word. I don't, just like I'm rattling tomorrow right now. I ain't got that plan. That just comes out of my mind. I said, please just put your thoughts into my head. So when I teach and not preach, but when I teach and share the word, is your thoughts coming into my mind and I'm spitting out your thoughts. That way I would be accurate and won't be phony or anything else because the flesh will twist the word, everything around, everything else. So that's my primary prayer right now. I talk to him all the time. I say, because I didn't think of that. I was sitting here reading my Bible, and that thought came out here like, wham! It says, John, communicate with me continually, and I will put my thoughts into your mind. I said, good God Almighty. So that's what I do now. I spend all my time talking to the Lord because I said, Lord, I got to teach tonight. I'll welcome if you can put some thoughts. Now, there's some thoughts that came out of my mouth. I didn't thought. It's just coming out, you know, kind of thing like right now. It's just flowing out. I ain't got nothing playing out. I ain't seeing. I'm not reading this stuff. It's coming out. So that attributes of demons, they say they can tempt us, they can oppress us, and they can bring bondage. And then you say, well, what are some of the organizations of the demons? Well, let me tell you, the good angels and the bad angels. The good bad angels They're called principalities, and they're called powers. You find that in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 12. They're called principalities, called powers. They're called rulers of the darkness. They're called spiritual hosts and wickedness. And then, in the good angels, they're called thrones, dominions, and principalities and powers. Now, demons serve different functions. This is where I come with satanic attacks against Christians, how they're organized. Demons serve different functions, y'all. You got evil spirits. Guess what they do? They influence immoral acts, and you know what all immoral acts are. That's nasty. I don't want to say that one. You got grown men supposed to be men of God, are believers in all walks of life, you know, and they having sex with another man, and. Because evil spirits, they influence immoral acts. And we have wives, not the wives. We have girlfriends who are mad to them. He used to come see me, and now I found out he's going with Billy Joe or Henry. And I said, what? Yeah, that dude, I turned on to another man. You know, kind of a thing. I saw him going in the hotel one time. It's kind of a stuff. Lord have mercy. So you got evil spirits that would influence a person to do abominable acts, which is like homosexual, lesbians, and bestiality, screwing animals, and that kind of stuff. That's the evil spirit for the guys. I just can't stop. I've been thinking, you know what, that child for 12 times now, I was giving $50 or $60 not to tell their mama, you know, kind of a thing. I said, my God, God rebuke you in the name of Jesus, you know. And it can't stop, and that's the money. I said, you need deliverance, young man. When you got a habit, you know it's wrong and it's filthy and nasty, and you can't stop, and you finish up enjoying it a little bit, that's not you. That's that demon somehow that got into you. Man, I've been trying. I just can't stop no more, kind of a thing. You know, I'm just about 13 times, and I just keep trying. One guy, John, I'm a masturbator, man. I masturbate 20, 30 times a day. I said, my Lord, man, your pee ought to be ripped off by now. Man, this ain't funny, man. And then, you know, and then we talk to him. And wherever we can get in at the time, because I don't do that yet. I'm learning because I don't want to get to make a mistake kind of a thing, you know, say, come out. And then you go, oh, chump, you don't know nothing, you know, that kind of thing. But I'm learning. But I know the procedures. I know everything about them now. But, you know, I'm still trying to get that little confidence in me, you know, because I don't want to step out of line, put that little plastic, slide, put aside, because I see you too. I can do that, Brother Emmett. And then stepping in, before you know it, the demon says, you say one more thing to me, you whole monger, you're behind me. I'll say, come out. And I'm not exaggerating. I've seen it about 20, 30 times where that demon stripped the person off and suspended him up in the seat. Him, help me, Brother John. Get me down. And a lot of it happened in church when some of these ministers, they have the triple crown ceremony. But where they go too far is, they want to show that they can cast out demons. Oh, pastor going to cast out demons. And then here come the pastor riding on a donkey, coming down the aisle, and the demon already say, he got my brother. And he say, he got the demon of pride. You know, that's Satan's primary thing. He said, I'm going to be like God. You see him riding on that donkey, John? I said, yeah, that's pride. That's the money. He riding on it. Got that big old robe on, got the big old diamond ring on, called about $10,000, stuff like that. And he full of pride. Look at me. And then sometimes they know we listening at the ceremony. And then one hollering, hey, Captain John, can you hear me? You know, and this kind of stuff. And then we go, yeah, he hears you. Look at me. You know, and he had about 20 armor bearers on one side, 20 on the other side. Some come down the aisle with 50 armor bearers, some on each side of him. Had one that had 100 armor bearers on one side, he marching down there on a horse. Some got him in a carriage, carried him and all that. And I said, oh my God, they open up for some beating, you know. And then they bring the demon possessed girl, and they always white. They said, I've been trained by Lord Egan. I said, oh God. I said, he told us. He's teaching me about demonology. That man is a Satanist. He's a white Satanist, and he's trying to destroy your congregation. And you know what he's doing? What is he doing? I said, I bet you offer you folk $200. Yeah, how do you know that? I said, because he don't want you to speak. He wants you not to believe in tongues and the gifts of the Spirit. He wants y'all to, because he said he'd give you $50,000 if y'all just preach regular. He don't want y'all to teach about the gifts of the Spirit because that's the weapon that kills Satan, that beat his butt. Because you get the Lord, the word says, and I said, come out, and I said this and that. Demon be laughing his butt off. The weapons against a demon is the spiritual warfare, which is found in Ephesians 6 chapter. You can't talk. You got to have that weapon. First of all, you can't have one little piece of sin on you. That's why, you know, every time I go to bed and I say, Lord, I don't know if I offend you or not, you know, because I'm not an expert on the Bible. I say, if I sin against you, I ask that you forgive me in the name of Jesus, you know. Oh, she said, forgive me all the sin, known and unknown. I say, because if I die in my sleep, I don't want him to say, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. I don't want you to say nothing like to me. I ain't going to hell. I ain't going to hell for lying. I ain't going to hell over a piece of vagina. I ain't going to hell trying to get somebody's ass. I ain't going to hell for nothing. Ain't nothing going to get me to hell, man, because I ain't want to go there. That's forever. A spirit don't never die. A spirit never die. That's an awful place. And then God took Emma down to the joint. Emma came down up screaming, man, and told me about it. That next day, so he'd been in hell that night, and God took him into one part of hell. And guess what that one part, that special part of hell, it's called the halls of theology. I said, what? And he said, yeah, Brother John, it's called the halls of theology. And I said, well, halls of theology. I said, well, we know theology means God, instead of God. He said, yeah. He says, I said, well, who in there? He said, from the beginning of time until now, you had different cases. You had a minister who died in 2000, no, in year 19, a year 20, in 100, the 200, 300, 1491, 1562, all the way up to 20, no, up, all the way up to 19, let me see when he got that thing back. He's about, it was 14 years ago, whatever that was. Let's just say. And so each one of those guys in each one of those prisons, and you know what they were doing? They were practicing to preach for their master Satan. You know, and I was walking with Jesus, but they look at Jesus and they saw me, and they go, Jesus, I'm sorry, I repent, Jesus. These are murderers. But most of them are ministers. All of what is called the halls of theology. That's where all the theologians, all the evangelists, all the chaplains, all the Bible teachers and Bible scholars, that's their special place in heaven. It's called the halls of theology. He showed it to Brother Emmett. And Emmett started to say, oh, my God. He told me all about it. And then there's a couple of lady evangelists that did this. One woman saw Jesus walking down there with Emmett. Jesus, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I repent, Lord Jesus. Forgive me, please, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Jesus said, I'm sorry, dear. Nobody can get saved on this side. You're supposed to be dead. You're supposed to accept me while you're still living. Salvation don't come when you're dead. You know, the lady said, well, the hell with you then. I don't need you. That's the way she cussed at Jesus. Emma said, I couldn't believe that came out their mouth. But worms were coming out of her eyes and her ears and her nose and everything else. And the breathing atmosphere was terrible. Like, it's breathing sulfuric acid. It's no, you think of the, everybody, no matter what cage you go, they go, just gasping for air. Because all they're getting is fumes of sulfuric acid. It smells like sulfuric acid and stuff like that. He said, L was a B-I-T-C-H-R. He said, he ain't never going there, man. Never. Uh-uh. Even in this ministry, girls started approaching him. Can I come see you? And all. I said, oh, that's how come he carried my daughter with him everywhere he goes. She says, when he go to do an exorcism, especially if it's going to be a woman. Because, see, some of them, the devil took. Because when he go there, when he started, he go, and the woman said, I'll be right back. I got to go to the bathroom right quick. He said, okay, ma'am. The girl go, the woman go into the bathroom, come back out butt naked, tell me, I want you. And he said, get away from me, I'll shoot you. The girl said, what did you say to me? You heard me, get away, I'll shoot you. I ain't going to hell over your vagina, girl. You better get out. He pulled his gun on and said, get, some come to his house. I need counseling. You know, they come to his house trying to seduce him. He said, ma'am, you're supposed to call me. You don't come to my house. It's real serious. Okay, come on in. And the chicks be like 40, 24, you know, I mean, stacked like models. And they go in, they have an overcoat on. And they say, well, let me help you with your coat. And when you take the woman's coat off, she's butt naked. No clothes, nothing on. Then he say, get your ass out here, you demon, in the name of Jesus. And she tells, I love you. I'm always listening to you. I said, demon? She said, I'm not talking to you, lady. I'm talking to that demon in you. Get out of here. And then the girl, and that demon started manifesting itself. That kind of a thing, see? So this goes, the girl told me, I find you very attractive, you know, and you turn your own, like, golly, I'm the lucky dude in the world. Hey, babe, come on now. You know, like, the church closed at 4 o'clock. You come on. Honey, I got to go to the hospital and visit the sick and the shut in when he's going around that sugar. That's that demon that sucking in. Then as soon as he getting naked and getting in bed with that woman, boom, the Holy Spirit says, time for me to leave. And they don't even know. They want to praise the Lord, and the Holy Spirit gone. They don't have no more anointing, no nothing. And Holy Spirit ain't going to stay there while you laying on top of a woman, laying on top of a man, Holy Spirit in you, looking through your eyeballs at this man or this woman under you. No way, Jose. See? Okay. So evil spirits, they influence immoral acts. And you have unclean spirits. They induce unclean thoughts, you know, oral sex, and anal sex, and animal sex, and all this stuff. Then you got, that's the unclean spirit. That's when they come on people. And I don't know, I just can't stop doing it. We have a lot of guys go, I just can't stop. Stop saying a fucking, that, excuse expression. My gay guy, you know, he just laying across my lap naked, and I just be singing him and all this stuff, and jackling. I said, man, shut up. I don't want to hear no more of that, you know. And then Brother Emma tried to help the guy. You have unclean spirits. They induce unclean thoughts. So when you're sitting there and some unclean thought comes, you got the man saying, now, who thought is that? Is that Jesus or that's the devil? See, the other flesh. One out of the three. And that's all you got to do. As soon as you see somebody fine, man, I know I ain't got no business thinking that. That's your shoes. Fine. And then you can say, oh, you demon. You slick as hell. In the name of Jesus, depart from me. That's what I do because we're all human, you know. Every now and then that thought would come close one time, women come close, you know, somebody flirt with you, and you'd be entertained, so should I, should not? And when I found myself going, should I? She looked at me, sweater, and yo, excuse me. I look at the lady and say, lady, I ain't going over the hell over a piece of pussy. I guess what I told the lady, excuse me, but I had to tell you exactly what I said to her. She said, you really real, aren't you? I said, I ain't going no hell for you. Hell is eternity, baby. In an atmosphere of sulfuric acid and it's dark. You can't even see the person standing next to you. That's another thing in between. Say, the people, they hear people like mummies walking around, and you can't see nobody. It's just black dark. Black dark. And remember, Emmett, it was time for Emmett to leave hell. He said, he saw Jesus say, come, my son. And they walked out of the cage, and boy, it was like a brilliant sunlight, just vroom, like 100 degrees sun. And boy, Emmett said, John, you don't want to go there. I ain't going no hell. God, because God gave him that vision, because that's his special ministry. He casts out demons. That's his calling. And then God said, John, need to know this too. So he had me going with him because he always go in pairs, you know. So I said, my Lord, this stuff is really real. I got buddies now who I walk with, and I said, man, I don't be with you no more. You believe in demons, man. You got go. You done lost your mind. I said, dog, no matter how much, man, you're going crazy, man. Get away from me. I said, that's pitiful. See, but he don't know what I saw. I've been there. I've been to churches when the ministers want to have triple crown ceremonies, but they went to add on by having this crazy man, Lord Egan, who is a Satanist, and what he going to do. And when he invites these girls, and all of them white, all of them in their 20s and 30s, and they are demon-possessed, and they are Satanist warlords. They are brides of Satan, and they ain't there to be delivered. The poor little preacher man told, I'm going to, I got, he did give me $300, no, $3,000. I got $50,000. I got $200,000, and so on, so on, so on. And he's going to bring, and I'm going to show that I'm going to be the first Baptist minister in this part of the city that casts out demons. And they're called bragging. I said, you don't want to do that. I said, what? Well, Lord Egan said, y'all going to say that about me. I said, Lord Egan, now you're going to say that because what? He know we are the real McCoy. And he's a follower. He is a prince of Satan. I said, that white man is a Satanist. And that white girl who come, he take her everywhere he go to all these ministers, white and black ministers. And they think they're going to cast out the demon. And they promise that the demon, they'll play a game, the demon act like they're coming out and say, just don't preach Jesus. Don't preach the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's all we want you to do. That's the promise they made. You get $200,000. We just stop preaching about Jesus in tongues. See, that's the weapons that the demons can't handle. They like for you to get there. Oh, say, come out, and so on, so on, so on. And you come in out your mind, your flesh, and even say, please, your flesh ain't got no power with me. Your thoughts don't have no power with me. The real McCoy's would have somebody, when somebody speaks who know God, when that person speaks, the Spirit of God speaking to that person, that demon be trembling like hell, you know. So you don't cast, that's one ministry. I'm talking about evangelist, minister, deacon, all this. You can get away doing it. Lord says, praise the Lord, and nothing happened to you. But once you say you want to be an exorcist, you better make sure the guys who train you tell you, say, the first thing I must tell you is you better not have pride. That's how Satan gets. Look at me. I can cast out this and I can cast. And then you messed up right there. Demon said, got him. And so pride and stuff like that will mess you up, and you can't even lie. So, you know, protect myself. Sometimes he asked me to go with him. And I said, you know what? I'm not an expert on the Bible. I know, but I just said, Lord Jesus, you know, Brother Emmett told me you want me to come over there because he's going to cast out a demon and want me to be there to support him, to encourage him, and to pray in tongues, you know, that kind of hold them demons in place. I said, now, if I committed a sin, I ask that you forgive me. I forgive all the sins. I said, Because I say I may have maybe sinned unknowingly. I say because I'm not an expert on the Bible. I may have done something that violates your word. But the demons, they know the Bible. So I always say, before I go to his house to be with him, to back him up, to be the one who's in prayer in the corner speaking in tongues, I just say, Lord, forgive me all the sins that I committed. No, no, no. I do that too before I go to sleep every night because I may have done something, don't know it. So the last words come out of my mouth before I close my eyes, I say, Father God, God of Jehovah, Lord Jesus of Nazareth, Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth. I say, now, Lord Jesus, you're my Redeemer. I say, now, Holy Spirit, the Bible says, you're my Counselor. So, God, I'm talking to my Redeemer, and I'm talking to my Counselor. I pray that sometimes I say, you guys. I say, excuse me. I say, I pray that you would forgive me of all my sins that I committed knowingly. Like if I miss a lie trying to impress somebody, I may lie to exaggerate something. That's a lie when you exaggerate it. And I say, forgive me for exaggerating it. And then I say, forgive me for sins that I'm not even aware of what I've done. In Jesus of Nazareth's name, I pray. Amen. Then I can sleep comfortably because if I die in my sleep, I know my spirit leave my body. My Lord will say, welcome home, my son. But we experience it, man. We don't know what's happening now. Man, we've seen so many men now turn to man. They having more sex with another man than a woman and stuff like that. We have wives calling and say, my husband hadn't screwed me in 8 months or 9 months or a year. And they know what their husbands are doing. You know, they ain't blind because they always leave tips of accident stuff, what they're doing. They listen, leave the hotel, take it down. When they were changing clothes, it fell out the pocket and stuff. And they could see their husband been in a room, hotel, so-and-so, spent $100, $200 and stuff like that, but they don't see nothing, you know. And some of them say, I'm through, but they'll call us and say, I'm through, I'm gone, pray for me. And when they come back home, the wife gone. Or when they go on a speaking engagement to come back, the wife done took all the furniture and everything out of the house and gone. And her brothers would take her to another state where her father or her mother lived, kind of a thing. Or she may move in with a brother. Let me see. I got 20 more minutes. All right. They say, demons serve different functions. They're evil spirits, they influence immoral acts. Unclean spirits, they induce unclean thoughts. And you know what unclean thoughts are, so I ain't got to give you an illustration. And then they have spirits of infirmity, they afflict the body. I don't know why I'm sick all the time. Every time I turn, I'm going to the hospital. If this ain't this, it's that. If it's not that, it's them. I don't know why. Well, the person may have a curse on them, you know, kind of a thing. Now I'm messing around with some gadget, some witchcraft thing, going to some witch doctor, some warlord, and all that kind of stuff, and you get possessed. Then you have deceiving spirits. Now, deceiving spirits, they produce false doctrines. False doctrines, they produce false teachers and false cults. You know, like you got Jehovah's Witnesses walking around talking about Jehovah, and they go around knocking on people's doors, think salvation, come back, knocking on people's doors and getting them the hope they can come and follow them and become a Jehovah Witness, and that'll help them get into heaven. That's what it's what they do, what crowns they can gain. And if we can save ourselves by doing good deeds, then there is no need for what? For our Lord and Savior to come down and take all that beating and crucifixion and everything else before he went back to heaven. If we can save ourselves, Jesus could have sit on the throne and say, praise the Lord. Then we got to say, praise the Lord. But he had to come and be our way out of hell, salvation. So, but then you got a lot of churches, ministers, who don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. And, oh, he's a good man, preacher, you know, those other religions, stuff like that. Let me see. So that's what they do. They're deceiving spirits. They produce false doctrines. And please, y'all, I know y'all be mad at me, but tongues hadn't ceased, y'all, okay? That's just a trick of the devil because he don't want y'all to have that because sometimes God wants to speak to your congregation. You may send them to him, all right, so I said a benediction. And then the Holy Spirit said, I got something I need to say. And you go, what? Praise the Lord. And then you say, open your mouth. You go, and then you get to the, I don't know what the world I said. All I know is the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And then guess what? Somebody raised their hand and said, Pastor. And you look over, yes, ma'am. Say, the Lord just told me what you said. May I speak? Yeah. Thus says the Lord God. And then that girl come out with beautiful praise where the Lord was praising everybody. Say, I enjoy your music. I enjoy your worship.
stage unto me. And I mean, just people crying, falling all on the floor, crying because that revelation that comes from that man or that janitor or one of the choir singers, God would give that person the flow of what was said through the pastor who was speaking in tongues. And you go, my. So tongues, God would talk to the congregation in praise or worship or prayer or whatever God see deem in time. Because, you know, we can't read God's mind. Sometimes you do the best way, and God says, I want to lift the spirit of this congregation up a little bit more. And then before you know it, the God may, by his spirit, talk to one of the deacons, whatever, get up and pray in tongues, my son. I got something I want to say. And that deacon will get up and say, yes, Lord. Chiquidiana para socorriate ca, Lorda. Chiquidiana gata para socorriane gata poro socorriane gashiana, calaha para cima. Hey, Kiriane gata para socorriane gashiquitala, para socorriane gatina, socorria. Then sometimes you come to speak, Chacaramana calociate, Kini equilia para so la para si. No, quita para soca. No, chiquitiana para siya makata. And then the pastor be crying while he's speaking in tongues. He said, who got the interpretation, please? And he be going back to crying because that spirit just be ministering to him. And then one of his deacons say, Pastor, I got it. It might be his wife, you know, who believe in the gifts of those spirits. And they get up and say, what you just, the Lord says. And then everybody busts out crying, falling all on the floor because it's such a sweet thing that the Lord said to the whole congregation that I'm pleased with you. So they teach their own doctrines. They transform themselves into angels of light. They come in. I love you. I believe in God and stuff. Then before you know it, you're in the bed with that man, that woman, and that demon inside that person. Satan, I got him for you. Encourage evil men to pervert rightness. Pervert. See that? That's another thing to do. They encourage evil men to pervert righteousness. See, they don't take all that. Please don't take all that. That's what mostly they say. They tempt with hypocrisy. They lie. They tempt with pride. They produce miracles, signs, and wonders of lying. They attempt to fill hearts with apostasy. And that's what they do as far as when they come against Christians kind of a thing. Now, let me see. Ooh, I got 15 more minutes. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to share some of these demons right quick. You got some of them called principalities. I'm not going to define what they do and all that. Just the ones I think you ought to know. They got principalities. They got powers. They got rulers of the darkness of this world. They got spiritual wickedness in high places. Some are called devils and demons, where, you know, a demon or a devil is a supernatural spirit that possesses the nature. They possess the nature of Satan and has the ability to give and distribute fortune, mammon of the righteous, unrighteous. They can possess man, woman. They can control mindsets and activities. And devils can be worshipped. They can make people sick. They can communicate, and they involve themselves in a host of other diabolical activities. All right, then you got the spirit underworld, you got the spirit horsemen, you got now the one I really want to talk about is the familiar spirits. Familiar spirits. How should I say that? Well, familiar spirits, we can encounter familiar spirits who work for Satan. They are like reconnaissance in an army, like you want to check out the enemy, and you might send a couple of troops to go over the hill or something like what Moses and all of them did, always send Joshua and all of them over to check out the enemy. So that's what they do. They check you out and see what your weakness and your strength are. We can encounter familiar spirits who work for Satan. They are like reconnaissance team. Their job is to spy and take the post back to the headquarters, y'all. Yeah, fine. You know what he likes to do? Familiar spirits are demonic agents whose main assignment are to become well acquainted with a person or groups of people who want to know what you like and what you don't like. And what you like, they will make sure you be confronted as constantly as they can. What else familiar spirits? Familiar spirits know your hot spots. They know which buttons to push. They know your weaknesses and your strength. Your likes, your dislikes, your passions, your pet peeves, what gets you going, what upsets you, what distracts you, your desires, your ambitions, and everything. Do you know some of the ministers telling me, some of the ministers who listen tonight, you know, some of them got on the phone, I want to speak to that John. And they go, hell with you, boy, F you. You don't know nothing. I'm watching what you say. Because, I mean, these so-called ministers, I say, I don't know you. You know, I say to them, I don't know you. You better watch what you say, boy, you know. I know demons inside out. And F you, boy. Kiss my butt, boy. And you listening tonight. You know, that's demonic. And I got to quit being angry at them guys that say that to me, you know, because I go, man, you kiss my, and I say, oh, God, excuse me for cursing. And I know what it is because, you know, I mean, you know, my mama told me, say, don't take no crap off nobody, whoever it is, you know. And so when they get on my back, I bounce right back and say, man, you go to, you know what, I'll beat your butt, I'll cut your throat. You know, I can talk the same language because I wasn't a saint all my life, you know, but I can't do that no more. And every time I do that, I get, man, God, get on my butt, boy. And, man, he wear me out. You know what? You ain't going to be able to hear me fluently like you want to, and you're going to stop all that cursing. Like, God, dog. And that's what he tells me, because I'm a fighter, man. You know, I don't take crap off nobody. And they call, I'm coming there, I'm going to make a sissy out you. I don't like your teaching. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come there, and I'm going to ball jack you. I had to ask Emma, what does ball jack mean? That means that. He told me he can come there and take his Peter and ram it up your butt. I said, what? Next time I joke, oh, man, I go upside down, man, turn him away, but loose. I even threatened to cut his throat and everything else. Then the Lord said, you need to repent. Sometimes I cuss so bad, but then I say, Brother John, you're still trying to hit the Lord fluently like me, right? I said, uh-huh. He says, the Lord said, you need to cut that cussing out. You're going to never hear me, you keep on cussing like that. Oh, God, I mess up again, you know. And so I had to comment. And he said, I hear a couple of calls just before I got on. They listen to that. Come, hey, boy, I'm coming down there, and I'm going to ball jack you. And I say, this is the pastor. He's going to come down here and going to screw me in my butt. But God always prevented. They never reached their goal. The last 30 or 40 who threatened me and Brother Emmett, either got in automobile accidents coming down here, or God was sending some of our friends who were big-time gangsters in the land to protect us. And run them back home. Say, you know, I ain't going to touch Brother John. You know, I ain't going to touch Brother Emmett. And dudes leave. You know, kind of a thing. So we don't worry. We don't have any fear because we're doing the works of the Lord, see. But we get threats all the time. So I'm coming down there. And they all say the same thing. And I know that's that same demon. We're going to ball jack you. See that? You just told me you're a faggot. What you mean? Because you said you're going to ball jack me. That means you'll come down here. Because the first thing you said to me is, and we want you to get some lipstick and put on some perfume, buy yourself a dress, and some panties, and put it on, be ready when we pull up in our Winnebago. You hear us, boy? That's the way they be talking to us. About a third of the preachers who are listening, you know, kind of a thing. Because we checking you out. Yeah, we listening. And you better have it, because I know demonology. Lord Egan taught me. And I said, you stupid man, Lord Egan is a Satanist. He's the head Satanist on this earth. He is a devil worshiper. He is a Satanist, and y'all are talking about, he told us not to pay y'all no attention. Y'all just trying to trick him. I said, you being tricked by the devil agent. That's the devil's number one agent, Lord Egan. Don't fall. Man, shut the F up. I'm coming down here and kick your butt. So you don't know us. We don't like what you're teaching. We got some in route now coming here tonight to beat our butt. Coming all from Alabama, Mississippi, Texas, and all that stuff. We always, you know, but they never make it. They never make it. Now I'm finished with this familiar spirit. Let me see, I got now. Oh no, my time ran out. I'm just gonna finish this last one. Familiar spirits, they know our hot spots. So a Holy Spirit know your weaknesses. What they do, they go back and tell all of them. He like to do this. He like to do that. He sneak around and do this, and he sneak around and do that. So you make sure you get all those temptations, so they can keep you in sin. Well, then there's unclean spirits, and then there's evil spirits, and then the last three you got spirits of infirmity. They are spirits that afflict your bodies of believers as well as unbelievers. They make you sick for all kinds of disease and everything else. And then you got what you call seducing spirits. These spirits afflict the spirit of man, seducing him to believe doctrinal lies and be condemned to eternal punishment. They get you to believe in doctrinal lies. Spirits are very, very deceptive. Like a lot of people don't believe Jesus, Son of God, and he's just a man who's trying to pretend like he's all that. So you got the spirit of infirmity. The person always getting sick because there's a spirit afflicting them with that. And then you got seducing spirits, always thinking all kind of ways to seduce people with doctrinal lies. Ain't no such thing as God, you know, that kind of stuff. You believe it. A lot of people walk around, hundreds, that don't believe in God. And then the last one, unclean spirits. And they are spirits that cause you to do all kind of immoral acts, especially those unclean thoughts always come. Why I can't stop thinking about screwing? How come I can't stop thinking about smoking my weed? How come I can't? That's because that's demonic influence. Okay? So let me close with this. Oh, man, how demons gain control. I done ran out of time. How these let me say this right quick. How demons gain control? They gain control through generations. You may come from a family that was into all kinds of sin and everything else, witchcraft and everything else. So they can so the child can be afflicted by that. They get you through your mind. That's because you can't help always thinking lustful thoughts or any kind of killing somebody, getting even with somebody, you know, these kind of things, all these ill will kind of thing. Well, they cause you to have a reprobate mind because you always think about how to get even with somebody, how to beat somebody up, how to control somebody. It's a mind totally controlled by evil thoughts. That's through the mind. And some people, they say, are you human? And of course, everything comes out of their mouth is evil and bad and everything else. They can come as through sinful actions. Some people get controlled by demons because all the sins that they do. Some say, I can't stop smoking. I can't stop masturbating. I can't stop thinking this. I can't stop. And they go, oh, Lord, I done messed around and got a demon oppressing me. Don't necessarily have to be possession. It can be oppression. So you have to talk to the Lord, and you rebuke that demon. Say, in the name of Jesus Christ, you masturbating demon, or you lying demon, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. Get thee from me. And the demon say, oh, my God, this man getting a little bit of religion. Boom, he's gone. But he'll come back and try to get you again. But whenever them thoughts come to you, like, you know, it's still attack us, you know. Like, I'd be walking the dog and say, look at the lady across the street. And she say, hello, isn't she fine? I think you can make it her. And I go, this thought is in my head, but that's not my thought. And then I say, you demon, you lust demon, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I rebuke you. Oh, shut up. Don't say nothing else no more. You know, because I know that's not my thought. So you can tell y'all know the Bible. So when a thought comes into your head, you say, that's not Bible. Then you know that's the influence of the devil. Not necessarily that you're demon possessed, but the demon trying to get you to do those things so they can enter your body and care and then give you some problems with it. They can cause you to sin through desire. Some people ask Satan, yeah. You like them, a lot of movie stars, they want to be famous and everything else. And the devil say, you give me your soul, I'll make you famous and rich and everything else. Hey, anything, because you just die once, they think, that poor thing. So through desire, some people ask Satan for some demonic power to enable them to perform supernatural acts. And then some people through the house, through an empty house, you get a minister, a man, a woman, or whatever, all walks of walk, can have been knowing the Lord, work with the Lord, and somehow they backslide, slid, and they have sex with this man, this woman, and then they have another sex in there, and they used to be walking with God, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said, hey, I got to leave this. This is not a holy vessel no more. And the person don't even know the Holy Spirit gone. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, yes, Lord. And he went back into that same sin again. Don't even realize that the Holy Spirit time left. Lord, the Spirit ain't going to stay in a body that's having sex with a man or sex with a woman that's not his wife, sex with somebody else or whatever. And that kind of thing. And then through permission, you got some people sell their soul to the devil so they can be famous. And well, I'm going to end right there, folks. I'll pick up the next week. I'm going to talk about how he uses the mind to tempt us, the mind of the devil, how he tricks us with our thoughts and how those thoughts penetrate and cause us to backslide and all that stuff, how he tricks us with all our thoughts. So all you got to remember that if whatever you're thinking, and it's not biblical, that ain't you. That's him or one of his demons. That's the trick, see? And they tricked you. They said, when you hear someone, why don't you go get some of that? Why don't you do this? Why don't you? You. And then back in the old days, the person going to do it because they think that's them. But see, the demons ain't got smart. They don't say you nowadays. They say I. They want to make it first person. Because right now, we so smart now. If a demon come and tell me, don't you want to have sex with that lady over there, man? Then I say, you demon, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. But see, the demons coming out and say, I sure like to make it with that chick. She is fine, you know. And then whatever you're thinking, I think it's me. And then what you do, you start trying to carry out to make it come to pass, you see. So now I got hip to it, and that's what they do. And they don't say, don't you want to screw it? Don't you want to smoke? Don't you want to do? Don't you? They don't talk like that no more. You say, who just said that to me? Somebody said, don't you? But now I said, man, I sure like the way she look. I like that little boy. That he's funny. Like that booty so big, you know, and all that crap, see. And then that's not your thoughts. That's the devil. Well, God bless you. Let me say a closing prayer. Father God, we come before you now. In the precious name of Jesus, give you all the praise and glory. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this time with your word this evening. And I thank for those who have listened. And Lord, I just know that you love them all because you died for them all. And it's never too late for anybody to change and repent because the only time it's late is when you die. There's no salvation after death. You have to go stand before him. And he says, depart with tears in his eyes. Depart from me, you work of iniquity. I died for you. I shed my blood for you. I got my butt beat for you. I got disfigured for you. They can even recognize me. I got nails in my hand. See the hole right here in my hand? And see the hole right there in my feet? See right there? See? I did that for you. but you denounced me. Depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you, but tears in his eyes, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I died for you. You didn't show any likeness of pleasure for what I'd done for you. I got my behind beat, pitiful, unrecognizable. And all you doing is still saying, the hell with that. I'm going to have my women. I'm going to have my men. I'm going to masturbate. I'm going to cheat. I'm going to steal. And I'm going to glorify myself. I'm going to get all these robes. And I'm going to get to be fifth track crown, sixth crown. Next year, probably sixth crown, triple or quadruple and all that stuff. That's pride. That's all it is. God bless you, and I just say good night to you. God, I thank you for these young men and middle-aged men and men my age. I ask that you bless them and give them the spirit of fear of you, Father God, because a lot of them don't fear you. I ask that you ask them to continue to love you, minister to them, Father, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to follow them to the day they die, because you don't want nobody. You have no pleasure in nobody going to hell. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. And, Lord, I know you love them. I love them, too. Even the ones who cuss me out, told me they're going to rape me. They're going to come down here and beat my butt. I know what's motivating them, the devil. And I pray for them as well. I thank you, Father. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen and amen. Good night, everybody.